The main thing about it is it'll free up the ability to borrow other funds if we need it.
No, I think it's good all around.
Yes, sir.
We were discussing the early defeasance of the water and sewer loan.
Oh, great.
You have anything to speak about that?
I don't have anything to add unless you have questions, and Mr. Burgess is here to answer any questions as well if necessary.
Yes. How much will it save us?
You want to just holler out or help me?
Yes, please.
Lee Burgess, Finance Director. So the amount of money that it'll save, I don't have the total amount of interest tallied before me, but there's two different loans being proposed for early payoff. The sewer loan is a USDA loan from 1997. You might not care, but it was to extend sewer mains, and it was a 40-year loan. The interest rate on that is 4.875%. So it's a pretty high interest rate to be paying to the federal government for a loan that doesn't, that wouldn't be fully retired until 2037. So the interest savings on that are substantial. The amount of the annual payment is not very big. It's about $14,000 a year. So the annual payments don't feel like they're very painful, but most of that is interest. And so the biggest savings is from the retirement of that sewer debt first because of the interest rate. And because of how long it is. I wish I had it totaled in front of me, but that wasn't in the numbers that we reported. I could get back to you with it, but it's substantial. I think it's $200,000 or something like that. So the other loan being proposed for early payoff would, it's a 1.5% loan from ADEC. It was the 1999 loan to build the water treatment plant. So that would be done in 2021. That was a loan that had a chunk of money from the Economic Recovery Fund set aside in a CD, so that would basically come to maturity as the annual payments were made. So there's money sitting aside with the intent to be used to retire this loan. I don't think we need to yank that money right away, barring some emergency in the water fund. We could just use water reserves to pay that off, but as those CDs matured, it would just be cash into the water fund ready for what's next. So, and the savings and interest on that would be much smaller. Even if we were to take the money out early to do it, we would still have a net savings of a few thousand dollars.
And if I may, it would probably be a good idea to pay off the old water plant before we incur debt on the new water plant, just as a matter of course.
I didn't have anything to say to that.
Lee?
Just depressing.
Any idea when those CDs are expected to mature? Top of
your head? Yeah, so there's about $640,000 set aside in CDs in First Bank. They're actually in two CDs. One's $90,000 and the other's about $550,000. The $90,000 CD matures in September of this year, and the remainder matures in March of next year, March 2019.
Oh, great.
So that's basically extra cash that they'll available for the water fund if this loan's paid off. It's technically available for the water fund regardless, but if the loan's not there to pay, then it's not reserved for anything at that point.
And the suggested funds to pay these off is going to come from the water fund.
Correct. Not this, yep. The sewer right. Fund would correspondingly have the cash cost of retiring that debt. If I could add one thing, the sewer loan that we're talking about retiring, there's a corresponding water loan for about the exact same amount, exact same interest rate. And so one other thing, I guess, for consideration is that loan also has about $177,000 worth of principal left to pay, and that interest rate is also relatively high. The water fund is a bit shorter on cash and has more problems. So the recommendation in the past, despite that interest rate, has been to keep a cash cushion in the water fund for whatever might be coming up. And so that's why that debt hasn't been retired longer ago, is basically because of not knowing what it might cost to address the water fund's issues. So that loan is still out there, and it would take $177,000 to defease that one early.
Another day loan.
Perhaps.
Anything further for Mr. Burgess? Thank you, Rick. Anything further, comments, discussion? The vote, please.
Assembly Member Powell?
Yes.
Costanza?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Now we get to the item everybody's been waiting for. Discussion item, fiscal year 2018-2019 budget. Open it up for discussion.
Mr. Mayor, there are a couple of items that we were not able to get out to you via email today, and I know you don't like receiving stuff on the fly, but it's stuff that's easily readable. If you would take one and pass it down, this is the request for a 2% increase of fees across the board. Mr. Burgess, we sent out the information regarding those fees in an email yesterday to the general fund revenues, but not the enterprise funds. And Mr. Burgess revised that and sent out the increase, what the increase revenue would be to the, so that is that. The other thing that, her email. Thank you. Amber provided a review of the two alternatives for the public safety building, and the request was that there be pictures. And so you can see here, if you will take one of each of these documents and pass it down, she's got the line items for the alternatives, and then the larger grouping is the pictures there. It's very easy to see what the cost is associated with the options. This, when she emailed this to me, I did not realize it was 10 megabytes and would not have been able to have been emailed very easily, so that's why we ended up printing it. Are we short?
One. I can share this with you.
Here,
there you go.
No, I've got extras. I'm sorry. Apparently, we have it together here.
Thank you. You're not a lot, Al.
Yeah, we have a bunch of
them. So, Mr. Mayor, we sent out a list addressing approximately 61 items yesterday that the assembly had asked us to go through, and I'm happy to go through those if you would like as quickly, as efficiently as possible, not necessarily as quickly as possible, but as efficiently as possible.
Yes.
So item one was to look at the public safety buildings, utilities, that they looked low in FY17, and Lee Burgess reports that there was a conversion error assigned to the utilities in the police department, and it's fixed in the most recent budget, and that there is no change to this year's bottom line associated with that. The second question that was requested is, what is the cost savings from eliminating a half-time library assistant? And the actual dollar value there is $39,406. And one of the things that I mentioned to you that would be necessary is for you to understand what the operational impacts would be from that cut. And Margaret Valarma is here this evening to speak to that if you would like her. She's been waiting very patiently.
Yes,
so if you
would
ask her to speak to that issue, that would be great.
Okay, so I went in and talked to Lisa today, and we went over a few details of how, if we got rid of that position, what the impact would be on the library. So I can't figure out a way without cutting hours that we would be open. Also, the duties of that position the duties that that position does would have to be picked up by somebody else. So that would probably have to be me, which would mean I wouldn't have as much time to do the duties that I'm supposed to perform. It can be done, but it would be difficult.
The discussion that we had is that Margaret wants to make sure that there isn't a breakdown or a loss in customer service to the customers at the library, which means if there isn't someone there to handle all of the inquiries and things that come in, she would be doing that instead of doing the administrative duties assigned with being the director. And so that there's an offset there that needs to be taken into consideration. With regard to the reduction in hours, she said we would probably have to cut nighttime hours, and we are open 3 nights a week.
We're open 3 nights. We'd probably have to cut one night out and have to cut Saturday, half a day or something to that effect.
And one of the things that we don't know for sure is, even though the savings up front would be $39,406, there would be an offset to that in terms of temp staff being brought in order to cover sick days and vacation, because that position, the two part-time positions and Margaret's full-time position help offset each other when leave time is taken and when anybody's sick. And so if there isn't that backup coverage from that third position, the temp staff time would undoubtedly be increased.
And my concern is that I want to make sure that we're offering a service to the community that we should be offering, so that when people do come in the library, we have a lot of elderly people who come in who need help that maybe aren't real computer savvy, and that we have somebody that's able to assist them with downloading documents or just anything that they might need.
In the spreadsheet that I sent out, at the very bottom under 61, it provides you with the checkout count that you guys asked for, and then the unique users who are checked out books. What I want to make sure that you're paying attention to is the numbers of individual wireless sessions and computer usage. And so that's reflective not necessarily of the number of people that are coming in and checking out books, but folks that are coming in who actually need potentially assistance when they're on the computer doing things. And the library serves a very significant function in terms of research as well for people. Lots of folks in the community that don't have computers at home or who don't know how to use a computer call the library asking for assistance. And they look up any one of a number of things for people. So the work of the staff there goes well beyond just folks coming in to check out books and the programmatic things that they have going on.
My question is, $39,406, does that include the benefits as well?
Yeah.
$39,000?
Lee, that's the number. Yeah. Yes.
That's the benefits and the salary for that position.
Yes.
Okay.
And
that's a half-time position?
21 hours.
It just seems kind of low to me with the benefits, because I would assume that the benefits outstrip the salary on that in terms of full-time benefits or a full complement of benefits, because I know roughly what that costs.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, please, Lee.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but and I can look up kind of what the hourly wage range is for that position.
I know that.
The tendency of a 20-hour-a-week position's benefits to outstrip the wages is a function of whether that employee happens to have multiple family members on the health insurance or whether it's just one person signed up for the health insurance. And so I think in this employee's case, it's just the way that the health insurance works out. It doesn't quite exceed the amount of wages, but it's not a particularly high-paying position. And so the big swing is going to be based on what the options, what the option is for health insurance that employee needs.
I wanted to ask you, I know you have a volunteer help. How many volunteers do you have?
we don't
have... don't have any volunteers?
We have a couple kids that have volunteered to come in this summer and help read to kids when they need help, but we don't have anybody who comes in on a regular basis and volunteers.
Okay.
We used to, yes.
Okay.
But we don't anymore. No.
And I'm not interested in cutting this department anymore. We literally pulled the rug out from under this department. So I think we've...
The other thing I could add as an alternative that Assemblymember Powell brought up was the idea of job sharing, because the value to the city is such that we get a much better bang for our buck when we have a full-time position as opposed to a half-time position. And although we said we would like to cut the custodian position at the Nolan Center and add the facility manager position, I stand by that, but we will be filling in all of the rest of the positions over there with temp staff. And that is potentially going to be a scheduling nightmare. And one of the things that we could look at doing is making this position a half-time library assistant and a half-time Nolan Center assistant, such that that person can be scheduled for regular hours to help with event setup or helping in the gift shop or doing visitor center duties or whatever it is, as opposed to there having to be 100% volunteer time. That's something to consider.
When I looked at the sheet, it was over half was benefits. So we paid more in benefits for that position than we do in salary.
Is that person that's currently in this position open to filling a full-time position?
That discussion has not been had.
It has not.
No. Mm-hmm. And we try to what we try to do until we know that there's a reason to move forward with that is I try very hard to make sure that we're dealing with positions and not people. And even though these impacts direct people very distinctly and very closely, we need to make sure that we're looking at positions and not individuals as decisions
Understood.
Are being made.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
Lee, what is the, so let's say that we had a person in there who was maximizing the benefits, what would the benefit liability be? So if somebody gets in the position and has the, you know, family insurance option, what is that amount?
In which position?
In
so
this library.
In the library position at the 20 hours. So I guess my question is, currently we know we're getting this, but what is our, what are we potentially the maximum on the hook for?
$22,000,
so another $22,000
approximately in borough costs. If it were an employee that happened to enroll the whole family. So our
potential liability is $62,000. Whether it's at a part-time position, correct? Anyone have any further questions for Margaret?
One other thing. Margaret, did you happen to do the calculations on the proctoring?
Yes, I did.
That was one of the options
questions
that the
assembly
that came asked up. To look for is potentially charging for proctoring.
So for the lab, for 2017, I proctored 32 tests. And I looked at what Petersburg charges, and they charge $25 a test, which would have came out to about $800 that the library could bring in if we did that. Now, some of those were city employees, so I don't know if we were
double
charging them, but that's what it came out to be if we charged them $25 a test, which I would hate to do for students just because a lot of them don't have a lot of money hanging around. So,
and that is addressed on line item 59 in the spreadsheet that we gave you, and it. The other thing I'll draw your attention to on 59 is the question was asked, could we charge for a library card? And if we charge for a library card, then the library is not eligible for state grants.
Mm-hmm.
So the loss would be
yep.
not mm-hmm. worth it at all.
Right.
Mayor?
Yeah.
As a result of all the additional administrative time you put into grants and things like that, mm-hmm. how much money have you brought into the library this year for grants and things like that because of that additional time you've had?
Well, I have that on my little chart too somewhere here. Where did I do with it? It's right here. So we figured we brought in $17,200 in grants this year. And our miscellaneous revenue, which is like overdues, copies, was like $2,690.
So roughly $19,000. Mm-hmm. More than half of the cost of the part-time position.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of that grant money would be spent on things that otherwise the city would have to pay for. New computers.
Internet service.
Our internet service.
E-rate.
The travel when I go to the state or the library conference, which I'm required to do as a library director, I have to attend one a year, so our grants cover that. So, yeah. Anything else?
You can solely questions for Lisa right now on this whole issue. So on the custodian thing, are we getting rid of that custodial thing in the library now?
That's the plan. The custodian in the library, what I said on that issue is, I'm going to leave that custodian money there, and we are trying to work. It's going to take us a little while to figure out how the custodian stuff is going to work. We are going to try to make some amendments here to the way that custodial work is done, requirements are done here, to offset some time, and whether that use is better, that time is better spent at the Nolan Center assisting or at the library, I'm not sure of yet. The custodian service at the library is 6 hours a week. It's 2 hours three times a week, so it's fairly nominal. My guess is we can figure something out, but I'd like to keep that money in there right now until I know how things are going to work, and I'm not going to be able to come up with that solution until after the budget is passed. There's too many staff moving parts to figure that out.
How many hours is the custodial at the library?
6 hours a week.
6 hours a week?
Yeah, she comes in three times and cleans for 2 hours. And basically in that time, 2 hours, it takes about an hour to vacuum the whole library. And then the other hour is the bathrooms, you know, a little dusting. It's not a whole lot.
So it wouldn't really be feasible to take that half-time position and include that, expand it to full-time with the duties including custodial service.
I don't know how, because she's 21 hours, so if you only add 6 hours to her work.
So that would be 27 hours, which are 13 hours left.
Yeah.
It was just a thought I had.
Right, yeah. No.
Very reasonable.
Yeah. So you're saying have two 40-hour positions and one 30-hour position?
No.
Well, that's how is that what I... Am I understanding wrong?
I'd like to have a discussion about the splitting the making a full time and splitting them.
With the Nolan Center?
Yeah.
Did Margaret sit down?
Are you guys done?
Do you have any questions for Margaret?
No.
Nope.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret.
Okay, what did you?
I just like to say that, you know, when we look at this budget and everything to everybody, we're not looking at people. We're looking at, you know, these are positions that we're looking at. And the hardest thing to do is to cut a position.
Yes.
But we have we got a over $500,000 deficit right now. So, I mean, we are looking at everything. And I just want everybody to know that this is very tough for us, too. So, I mean, we're not looking at as an individual people here. We're looking at positions and everybody's position and where we're cutting. I mean, we cut the school, so I mean, we're looking at everything. I just want everybody to know that. I mean, it's not easy for us.
Currently, $579,000.
Yeah.
Have we talked to you about the fire truck yet?
No.
What? Well, that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So the next item on the list is to eliminate the substation gravel pad, the library carpet, fire hall carpet, columbarium, and reduce the public safety building oil boiler. All those have been done, and essentially that reduced the general fund contribution by 114.5, 114,000, 114.5 thousand dollars. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure that out. Some of the things that I'm going to be talking through here are not items for which there is an answer tonight, but just know that they're on the list. The concept came up that should we consider geo-bonding for CIP and major maintenance projects. That's obviously got to be a bigger, separate discussion at a later time as we plan, let's say, for next year's budget around how we want to accomplish things. So just know that that's on the list. Item number six was reduce the school contribution. That was done, and it reduced the general fund contribution by 84,000. Well, I'm sorry, the sales tax contribution by $84,280.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Excuse me, Lisa. Just to go back to number five on the general obligation bond, I completely agree with you that the discussion probably over the next year, after the few things that are leading up to the next budget. But I did pass that general idea by Bill Goodale. Just, I thought I'd be curious to hear his thoughts. And his initial reaction was thoughtful and, you know, thought that that was definitely worthy of consideration. So just put that out there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next item, seven, is to transfer money from the sales tax fund reserve to cover school bond debt service. That money, the transfer to the debt service fund for school bonds, has traditionally come from the general fund, and so that reduces the general fund obligation by $142,000. Some of these things are already included. Good night, ladies. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Some of these things have already been included in the calculation in front of you. I'm just recapping to make sure you know what's been done. So can some secure rural schools reserves be transferred to the general fund in addition to 6% of this year's receipts? And I do believe that Lee is still researching that. We don't have a definitive answer yet. I think the thought is probably not, that wouldn't be allowed. What is the savings from step freezes on all non-union employees, $54,120. What is the savings from increasing the non-union share of health insurance premiums to 20% from 15, $31,470. The 2% increase on all fees, we've passed out to you tonight that item that shows what that 2% increase would be. As you can see, if you increase general fund fees, you are at less than $10,000 for the increase. Although what is not included in that, I don't think, is what I will discuss a little bit later on, which is the amount of money we could increase if we went to the fee chart for building permits that is in the International Building Code. And so I did that calculation for you, and we'll get to that here shortly. Number 12 is reduce the general fund contribution to the Nolan Center and allow expenditure of excess reserve. That's been done. That's already included in the number that you have in front of you, and that's a reduction of the general fund contribution by $168,000, but that's a one-time infusion because that money is coming from reserve, so that is not an option that would be available to us in future years. A plan for a baler to be installed within 4 years. So that is a very significant issue that we need to deal with. That would be done in the solid waste enterprise fund, and so as part of our rate study that would be done for our utilities, that will be one of the major things that is taken into consideration, is how we need to set fees in order to be able to accomplish that baler installation, which is going to be a significant expense. And the Parks and Rec fund needs to be separated out as pool fund only on the summary of funds page. There was some confusion there because it showed the actual pool fund, and then it showed revenues to the Parks and Rec department as well, the special revenue fund. Those have been separated out. The request was to add $20,000 for union prep, negotiation, legal fees, and the admin budget. That's been done. That's included in the number you have there. remove the roughing filter replacement project from the water fund budget, even though you just got the final report on that, recommendation on that this evening, that was done. The other thing that has been done is the pool fund contribution after that, that's in, that'll be in version 3, that's not in version 2.
I'm sorry?
The $20,000 pool fund.
I don't remember the number that was put in there. The budget you have should have assumed, I think, something like $15,000 being transferred from the pool fund this fiscal year, before the end of this fiscal year, as well as next fiscal year.
Oh, was it? I thought it was 20. I'm sorry. It's 15.
I think it was left at 15 for now.
Okay.
Just pending some further review. But I spoke with our permanent fund advisor today, and doing the calculation would result in about